We always think about forensic science. You know, like, it's foolproof, right? Fingerprints, DNA evidence, stuff like that. But today, we're going to look at a report that really dives into some iffy stuff, even on what we think of as hard science.
Exactly. It can be a little unnerving when you realize that even in something like forensics, there are these areas that might not be as rock solid as we assume.
Exactly. And that's what we're going to dig into today. A report from YouWithinTheNorms.com that specifically tackles the work of Dr. Timothy E. Kane. And it goes pretty deep, folks.
Oh, yeah. This isn't just a surface-level critique. This report really digs into Dr. King's methods and the testimony he's given in court. It's aimed directly at you.
Right. And the real focus for us today is how this report ties together two seemingly separate issues.
Mm-hmm.
One is the whole controversy around bite mark analysis and whether it's truly reliable. And then there's Dr. King's work and the questions being raised about his involvement in these opioid task forces and his expert testimony in those cases.
Exactly. And what we want to do is unpack these arguments for you and explore how the report connects those two threads. Because at the heart of it, this is about scientific validity and whether the evidence being presented is actually as solid as it's made out to be.
Okay, so to really get into this, we have to start with this big report that our source leans on pretty heavily. The President's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology, the PCAAST report. That came out back in September 2016.
Right. This wasn't just some niche study. This was a pretty comprehensive look at the scientific validity of a whole bunch of forensic disciplines. And it made some waves.
Oh, yeah, it did. And according to our source, this PCAAST report directly undermines the so-called forensic methodologies of Dr. Timothy E. King's MD. I mean, that's a pretty strong statement right off the bat.
It is. And what's interesting is that this report really dug into these feature comparison methods, things like hair analysis, fingerprint analysis, and of course, bite mark analysis. And what they found was a real lack of scientific backing for a lot of this stuff.
Okay, so let's talk about bite marks for a minute, because the report really goes there. Can you break down for us what exactly is bite mark evidence and what did the PCAAST report ultimately say about it?
Sure. So basically, bite mark evidence, or forensic odontology as it's called, involves examining marks found on skin or objects, sometimes at a crime scene, and trying to figure out, are these human bite marks? And if so, can we match them to a suspect?
So you take dental impressions from a suspect and try to see if they line up with the bite mark.
Right. But here's the thing. The PCAAST report basically concluded that this whole field of bite mark analysis hasn't shown that it can actually reliably identify a specific person from a bite mark.
So even that first step saying, yep, that's definitely a human bite, is shaky.
That's right. And to make matters worse, the PCAAST report also found that experts in this field can't even consistently tell the difference between a human bite and, say, a bite from an animal or some other kind of injury.
Wow. So from the very beginning, there are these major questions about whether bite mark evidence is even valid.
Exactly. And there was this really telling incident back in 2015 where a bunch of certified bite mark experts from the American Board of Forensic Odontology were asked to look at a patterned injury. And get this, a significant number of them couldn't agree on whether it was even a human bite mark, let alone whether it had enough unique characteristics to link it to a specific person.
I mean, if the experts can't agree, that's a huge red flag, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It really makes you question the whole foundation of using bite mark evidence in court.
Okay, so this is where things get really interesting, because now we bring in Dr. Timothy King. And our source doesn't hold back. They call him the Great King Rat. And even the mother of all forensic fraud.
Yeah, the report really goes after Dr. King, and the controversy surrounding him focuses on his work as a government expert, especially when it comes to opioids and pain management.
Right. And what are the main criticisms being leveled against him?
The report alleges that he's used his position as an expert to basically push false narratives and biased interpretations. And they claim he's made statements in court that weren't backed up by evidence. You know, they say he hasn't adhered to the scientific principles that are supposed to guide expert testimony.
And the report gives a specific example about opioid prescriptions. Can you walk us through that?
Sure. So one of the things they point to is Dr. King's statement that any opioid prescription should be considered invalid if there isn't objective evidence that the patient is functionally improving.
But how do you objectively measure something like pain?
Exactly. And that's the counterargument. They're saying that pain is subjective and that this kind of blanket statement from Dr. King ignores the very real complexities of pain management.
It seems like a pretty rigid and possibly harmful way to approach something as nuanced as pain.
Right. And the report also highlights another statement that Dr. King reportedly made, where he said that opioid addiction and the dangers associated therein have been known for 3,000 years.
Well, yeah, opium has been around for a long time, but.
Exactly. The criticism here is that this statement is way too simplistic and that it disregards all the advancements we've made in understanding addiction and pain management over the centuries. We know so much more now about how opioids work and how to use them safely than we did even a few decades ago.
So it's like he's taking this really long view of history and using it to shut down any kind of nuanced discussion about opioids.
That's the argument. And what's interesting is that the report connects these concerns about Dr. King's work to the whole debate about bite mark evidence.
Right, because they both raise questions about the validity of expert testimony.
Exactly. The report points out that in 2016, the same year as that big PCAC report, the assistant director of the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy specifically called out bite mark evidence as unreliable.
Wow, so even at the highest levels of government, there was this recognition that bite mark analysis was problematic.
Right. But here's the thing. Despite all that, despite the PCCST report and the statements from government officials, courts are still allowing bite mark evidence.
Really? Why is that?
The report suggests it's because of precedent. You know, that whole idea of, well, we've always done it this way. And they also point to the influence of what they call barratry prosecutors.
Baratree prosecutors, what does that mean?
Basically, it refers to prosecutors who bring a lot of similar cases and who rely on certain types of evidence, even if that evidence might be scientifically shaky. And the argument is that courts are deferring to these prosecutors instead of independently evaluating the science behind the evidence.
So they're just rubber stamping it based on past decisions rather than really digging into whether it's valid.
That's the argument. And the report even says that bite mark evidence has led to more than two dozen wrongful arrests or convictions.
It's scary to think about how many people might have been unjustly punished because of this kind of flawed evidence.
And there's this really powerful quote in the report from someone named Robert Curtis, who basically calls for Dr. King to be imprisoned for the harm he's allegedly caused with his testimony.
Wow, he doesn't mince words.
Nope. He even suggests that DEA and DOJ officials who are involved in these cases should be held accountable too. It's a pretty strong indictment.
Okay, so to clarify, the legal argument here is that courts are relying on past rulings about bite marks without doing their own due diligence, right? They're
Sure.
not doing that independent analysis that's supposed to ensure the evidence is actually reliable.
Exactly. They're not doing what's called a Daubert analysis, which is the legal standard for determining whether scientific evidence is admissible in court.
And the report also brings up this interesting point about the forensic odontology community itself. They quote something from Forensic Bite Mark Identification Week Foundation's exaggerated claims that suggests something kind of ironic.
Yeah, it's basically saying that because courts have accepted bite mark evidence for so long, the people in the field have come to believe it's reliable, even if they have doubts themselves.
So it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. The legal system says it's good science, so they start to believe it even if the evidence isn't really there.
Right. And that's a really dangerous cycle because it means that potentially flawed evidence can be perpetuated simply because it's been accepted in the past.
So putting it all together, it seems like this report is drawing a parallel between the issues with bite mark analysis and the allegations against Dr. King. They're both raising these fundamental questions about whether the evidence being presented is scientifically sound and whether the experts involved can be trusted.
Exactly. And what's really at stake here is the integrity of the legal system. When flawed evidence is allowed into court, it undermines the entire process and puts people at risk of being wrongly convicted.
It's a sobering thought.
Yeah.
So to wrap up for you today, we really delved into this report from youwithinthenorms.com and explored its analysis of the controversy surrounding Dr. Timothy E. King and the broader concerns about the reliability of certain forensic disciplines like bite mark analysis.
And this all leads to a bigger question that goes beyond just this one report. Given the potential for bias and the fact that science is always evolving, how can we ensure that the evidence used in legal proceedings and really in any field that relies on expert testimony is truly reliable and that the experts themselves are held accountable?
That's something for all of us to think about. How do we balance the weight of precedent with the need for rigorous scientific scrutiny? And how do we make sure that the pursuit of justice isn't hampered by flawed methods or questionable expertise?
It's a challenge that we need to face head-on because the consequences of getting it wrong are simply too high.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive today, folks.
Thanks for listening.